His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit and rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, black power, my people. It's my honor and privilege to be talking to you once again on Black Power Radio, broadcasting live to you from here in the pits and smells and the hells of North America. We welcome you to your Truth Hour, the most revolutionary radio show anywhere to hit the airwaves. And we thank you. And tonight we're going to be talking about, can a black man be racist? Is it possible for the black man or the black woman to be a racist? Can a black man be a racist individual or a hater of his or her oppressor? We're going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it in depth. We want to first welcome our co-host, our esteemed co-host, our sister soldier, Sister Fasami. You on, Fasami?
Yes, sir.
Black
Power. Black Power, how are you?
Black Power, doing fantastic as always. How you doing?
I'm doing black-erific, brother, you know.
That's what I'm talking about, black like a licorice. And so
yeah.
I want to deal with this topic. And so I think that it would be, I think it'd be righteous to play, I guess, the clip of what I'm talking about. Many of us don't even know what I'm talking about. But our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who, you, if you don't know that brother, get familiar with him very quickly. That's a name that's going to be a household name and is a household name all throughout North America and all throughout the world. Get to know Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Google that name, one of the most off-hit names on the Google search anywhere on the site of Google. Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, our national chairman. Sending shouts out to you, sir. Sending shouts out to our national chief of staff, our brother and soldier and warrior and friend, and also I would say a scholar, our minister Hashim Nzinga. Shouts out to you, brother. Shouts out to you, our national minister of justice, Imam Akbar. Shouts out to you, brother, for holding the line. Shouts out to our national minister of information, Sister Asale. Shouts out to you, Queen. Shouts out to the entire new Black Panther Party. We love you, we love you, and we holding the line right with you. And so let's get into it. I want to play the clip first of our national chairman making the statement so I can give you a little backdrop on where this comes from. It's a very, very quick clip, and then we'll get right into the discussion. So let's go with it.
You know, Malik, I don't know if you were hearing the show. I hope you were. But my problem...
I heard the whole show.
Good. My problem is, and you know it because I expressed it to you face-to-face in the 15 years that we've been going head-to-head on and off, when you incorporate elements that are so incendiary, so hateful, you cannot say you're not a racist group. When you use Zionist conspiracy at the other sentence, you cannot say you're not an anti-Semitic group.
You can't... A black man, really, or a black leader cannot be a racist. You cannot take the slave who takes the whip from the slave master and begins beating the slave master. You can't call the slave a reverse racist. White people have not experienced racism, Jim Crow, and terrorism the way my people have. I have the right to use different language.
Okay, I
have the right to use different language.
Hillary Shelton of the NAACP, do you agree?
There you go, brothers and sisters. There's the statement. There is the statement and the context that was made by the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Attorney Shabazz made the statement that a black man and a black leader and a black woman cannot be racist. A black man and a black woman cannot be a racist. Now, listen, we're all in the news, Sister Fasami, the New Black Panther Party. We all over the news. And the number one thing that the news media wants to categorize the New Black Panther Party as is a hate group or a racist group or a hate war-making kind of group. And now listen, if we are that, okay, if we're that for real, then why are you going through all this trouble? Why are you making such a fuss if we're just a hate group or we're just some type of war-making group or we're just some troublemakers? Why are you going through all this with the Google hits and all this with the media campaigns, all this with the newspaper campaigns, with the slander of the leader and the slander of the membership and the slander of our people? Why go through all this? So we're asking the question tonight. Can the black man and can the black woman righteously be considered a racist? And if the black man and black woman is racist, then what makes that black man and woman a racist? How do you define racism? What is
it? I'm going to go to their book. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the Webster Ninth New Collegiate Dictionary, Merriam-Webster, and I'm going to read it, what they say. This is not our language. It's not our indigenous language. So we're going to go to their book.
Okay.
Of course, they change it just like they change in the history books down in Texas. They're trying to change history. They change their dictionaries from time to time to make things more suitable for them so they can use certain, you know, terms and attach certain adjectives to us that we have historically attached to them. Now, that being said, racism, number two definition is racial prejudice or discrimination. All right, well, let's go over here to discrimination. What does discrimination mean? The power of distinguish the act, practice, or the instance of discriminating categorically rather than individually. So, now, you already know where my background comes from, and this is something that we had to study on a collegiate level. And one of the things that we had to realize that when it comes to racism, there is a certain element of discriminatory behavior. When you can discriminate or exclude or include certain groups, you have to have the power. If you don't have the power, you cannot discriminate. So therefore, you can't be racist. Black people, since we have come to the shores of the United States of America, have never had the power. So therefore, since we don't have the power, we can't exclude. I mean, brother, we have certain organizations. You can't even exclude people from the NAACP. I mean, that was established by some small hats, but I'm just saying, you can't exclude these people from nothing. So how are you really a racist when you don't even have the power to discriminate or exclude people from certain institutions, be it a higher learning institution, your medical institution, your employment, every single entity of life, you know what I'm saying, that affects human life, we don't have the power to exclude or discriminate against anybody. So therefore, no, a black man and a black woman cannot be racist.
Well, let me say what the critic would say on that. The critic would say now that you have a black man in office, okay? Now that you have, you know, civil rights that have been passed and different bills that are in the favor of the quote-unquote African-American, now you're on an equal playing field. So now there has to be, you know, a certain amount of white folks in school and a certain amount of black people in school. So if there's more black people in the school than there is white people, isn't that considered racism or discrimination?
Well, let's first deal with the first thing at hand. You said a black man is in office. You're talking about President Barack Obama, who's in the White House. Let me clarify that. That's one black man who made it to the White House. When we're talking about the masses of black men, trust me, they're not in the White House. They might be in there in the capacity of a server, Secret Service agent, something like that. But this is one black man who, quote unquote, made it. Really, he ain't made it, because they letting them know every day, oh no, you still a Negro. You see what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, we're talking about one black man. Furthermore, now they're saying that we're supposed to be in this post-racial America. In this post-racial America, let's look at this. This post-racial America, excuse me, Oscar Grant has been gunned down by the police. In this post-racial America, Ayanna Jones has been shot and killed by the Detroit police. You know what I'm saying? Brother Anthony Hill was dragged 11 miles behind some white hick here in Newberry, South Carolina. And this post-racial America has gotten worse than it has gotten better. So when you talk about Barack Obama being the poster child of black America, we are sadly mistaken. That's one black man who's made it to the power, the so-called or pseudo position. Because you and I both know, brother, he ain't really in a power position.
Well, I heard one girl say, in referring to the New Black Panther Party coming to Newberry, she said now that if this had happened to a white man, if a white man had been drugged behind a truck, as in the same way that Anthony Hill, our brother Anthony Hill, was drugged, that the New Black Panther Party would not have showed up. Now, isn't that racism?
No, that's not racism. I'm going to tell you
why
it's not racism. Because the white people are not our – that's not – who we are fighting for. My thing is, they have, if you want somebody to show up, you have the chief of police and the whole police force that's going to investigate this crime thoroughly. And like Sister Tiffany said on the show 2 weeks ago, that black man probably wouldn't even made it to the courthouse. He probably wouldn't have made it to the jail cell. You got a whole system, an institutionalized system there to sit up here and make sure that their citizens, their white citizens, are safe. So therefore, they don't need any vanguards. They don't need any vanguards like the New Black Panther Party. Once again, they are of no consequence to us. Damn right we wouldn't have been there. Are we supposed to be apologetic for that? Because I sure as hell didn't see not one... whatever all these Jewish commissions and leagues and all this, I didn't see one Jewish representative there to support us in our efforts. I didn't see one white organization there to support us in our efforts. I didn't see anybody outside of our race there to support us in our efforts to bring justice to Newberry, South Carolina, and its black residents.
For the record, I didn't see that either. Let's take a call real quick. 803-298. Question or comment, can a black man or black woman be racist?
Yeah, Sister Tiffany, and I was calling in, and Sister Summer, you just said exactly what I was calling in to say, because I saw the YouTube where there was actually one of our sisters in Newberry here that was saying that the New Black Panther Party was actually the problem and not the solution. And my comment to that is, if not us, who? Because no one else showed up to step in place at some Brother Hill's family. And exactly right. When have we ever drove a white person behind any one of our trucks? So that's nothing to compare it to anyway. Never in history have we done anything like that. So this is a crime of hate, no matter how you look at it, no matter what anybody says. When you tie someone to a truck and you drag them for everyone else in the community to see, it's a crime of hate. And that's what I wanted to be heard for everybody listening.
Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Hey, I miss you, sis.
So, Sister Tiffany, so you're of the opinion that a black man or woman cannot be racist?
No. We're the oppressed, so how can we be racist? That word was formed by our oppressors, so how can we be the racist? We're the ones that everything's always happening to.
That's interesting. So what about when you hear a black man or a black woman use a pejorative term towards someone of the other race, or, you know, call somebody, you know, sometimes they might say honky, or they might say cracker, or they, you know, isn't that considered racism?
That's a common.
I mean, didn't they introduce crack to our neighborhood? Didn't they crack their whips on our backs?
That's right.
What crackers do? So.
That's right. That's how we used to describe the white boy, because he used to crack the whips on the back of our men and back of our women. He brought crack into our communities. Damn right he's the cracker. Like we used to call the white boy the MF word. I don't really want to say that, because to me, whatever. That's because he used to F our mother. That's the reason. That's where that word came from. So it's nothing but just a colorful euphemism. I mean, really, it's an adjective. It's describing somebody who has done something historically and continue to perpetuate the same kind of behavior, the same kind of descriptive behavior. That's all it is. And trust me, they don't get offended. They proudly, these crackers call themselves crackers down here. They call themselves rednecks down here, especially in Florida.
They sure do. They have the tag that say proud to be a redneck. How can you be proud of being a redneck and then say we're racist for standing up for our own people when no one else will?
That's interesting. So what about groups like ours, like the New Black Panther Party and others, who really, let me say it straight, we don't have no involvement with white folks. We don't integrate white folks, no white folks in our membership, our ranks, none of that. To the critic, isn't that racism, though? Why or why not?
You want to take that, Sister Tiffany? Because I got an explanation for it, but if you would like to, go ahead.
I'll just say my piece, and you can follow up with me. But that's not racist, because that's what it should be. We don't need anybody infiltrating and trying to change what's going on, what's true, because we let anybody else in, that they're going to come with their own beliefs and why we should be swayed to be their opinions and why they may be right. And they're not right. We've been over way past 400 years of seeing how wrong they are, so it's time to take matters into our own hands, one nation, our people, black power.
That's what's up. And furthermore, that's not racism. That's called common sense. That's called common sense. Let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you. That's the same thing when you try to marry other people. When you bring other people into your organization or into your cipher, their ideologies and their agenda starts getting infiltrated into yours. You start now getting your puppet strings pulled by them. Understand what I'm trying to say? That's the reason why the New Black Panther Party is so different from the original Black Panther Party. See what I'm saying? So we don't accept any kind of aid or help or assistance or anything from anybody outside of our race. Nobody will ever respect us in this world, not that I care who likes me, who doesn't like me, but nobody will ever look at us as more than dogs and savages until we stand up for our people. It's not racism. It's called common sense.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that now, because that's an interesting point that you raised. Now, there's a big discussion now that the enemy is trying to use against the New Black Panther Party in terms of using the original Panther Party, or let me say it correctly, members of the original Panther Party against the New Black Panther Party. And the stance that they're taking is that the New Black Panther Party is using language or does things that doesn't represent the legacy or the history of the original Panther Party. Now, My question is it that they think that we're racist, or is it something deeper than that?
You know what? I think a lot of those elders, unfortunately, have been, real talk, just bought and paid for by you know who. You know, so my thing is, instead of them coming to the youngins and coming to the newer generation and saying, hey, let me assist you. Let me help you. Let me show you how we did this. Let me show you how we got this started. Let me take you up under our wing And we're going to show you the right way, or not maybe the right way, but our way and how we did such and such. You can use whatever language you want to use. I mean, you have a lot of Bible-thumping people who are probably listening to this. Peter had the nastiest mouth in the whole 12 disciples. You understand what I'm trying to say? But his heart was still pure. So it really doesn't matter what kind of language you use. I don't give a damn about the English language. This ain't our indigenous language anyway. So why are you getting your panties all up in a bunch? Instead of taking in the younger generation, this and this, with this is the whole Willie Lynch thing all over again. You separate the young from the old. My thing is, instead of teaching us and showing us what it is they would like us to know, what they do is they get on TV and let the devil find out there's some kind of dissension and problem between the two. If you don't like what we're doing, fine. But you ain't doing nothing. So sit down on the elder council and be quiet. Let us soldiers get out here and work. It's okay.
The original Panther Party now, the original Panther Party, from what I saw and have studied, they yelled black power as well, correct?
Not really. They were integrationists too. I'm just going to be honest. They were integrationists too. They wanted to be integrated. They wanted, I mean, a lot of them had white women. A lot of them hated, some, I'm not going to say a lot, some of them hated black women. I'm sure you read Solo on Ice. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Right. You know, Eldridge Cleaver hated black women. Got the lightest thing he could find. See what I'm saying? So it's a lot of them who were integrationists and assimilationists and amalgamationists and every other kind of Asianist. You know what I'm saying? So the bottom line comes down to, no, they weren't totally against white people, and they did elicit aid at the party. We don't want any help from anybody. It's self-determination. We're going to do it ourselves.
Well, my point is saying what I'm saying, and your point is taken. I'm saying that the original Panther Party, established by Dr. Huey P. Newton and Chairman Bobby Seale,
mm-hmm.
and Bobby Hutton and the Sherman and the Forte brothers with Elbert Big Man Howard, that original group of Black Panther Party, they used the term black power. They came out originally black nationalists.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I studied them, and even showed it some in the movie Panther, that when white folks came to help the party, that it was rejected, okay, that you know, Minister Huey said, and he felt it was best that the black man and woman did for his or herself. So
mm-hmm.
my question becomes now, where did the integration seep in into the ideology of the Black Panther Party, and where did the variants come in to where they're being used to be set up as an enemy between us and them? Not that we are. Let me make that clear for the audience, but I'm talking about in terms of what the enemy is doing and what the enemy is working on. Where did this seep in at? The integration and the original Panther Party being set up against the new Black Panther Party.
Are you asking me that, brother?
I'm asking you that.
Okay, I have no problem with telling you I don't know. You tell me. I really don't. If I don't know something, I'm not going to sit up here and bubble gum my way through it. I don't know.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I would really be interested in hearing from the audience as well. It's a deep question. It's just
mm-hmm.
a deep question that I
can
really
get back
like.
To you on it.
Yeah,
but as of right now, yeah, I don't know.
Definitely, I would just like to know because from everything that I've studied of the original Black Panther Party. We as new Black Panther Party are right in line with the original Panther Party.
And it's a little different, brother. It really is. And I can't tell you where they went one way.
I said, you're going to talk to me on that one.
Right. When I say I don't want people to take it as I'm saying that we're trying to totally separate. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we have ever done, is try to separate ourselves from the original Black Panther Party. But what I'm saying is there is a difference when it comes to, I mean, hell, they had white people at their meetings. You know what I mean? They had crackers at their meetings. Some of them had crackers at their meetings. I mean, you just don't do that.
Well, that was that you referring to the public rallies or the in-house political education?
In-house political education, yes, sir.
I don't know about
yes,
that.
Sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to get you some literature on it. And like I said, I'll get back to you on it because I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to get into something where I'm getting blocked into a corner. And if I don't know something, I don't know it. And it's very rare.
Right.
You know,
okay.
I've only been wrong one time in my life, and that's when I thought I was wrong, you know?
So, all right.
My thing is, you know, if I don't know something, I'm going to investigate it. And for me to really make a valid point, I'm going to really bring it to you, you know? So this ain't going to be the last discussion of this.
Huh?
This is definitely not going to be the last discussion of this
particular
topic.
Oh no, man, that's a valid question. Let's take a quick call to get in on the conversation. 515-779. You're on the air. Your questions or comments. Can a black man or woman be racist? Black power.
Black power, Brother Sean and sister. This is Brother Jamaica Muhammad.
How you doing, Brother Muhammad?
All praises be to Allah, brother. You know, brother, me and my wife, we talked about this many of different times, and I think I just might be a phenomenon because I feel like a black man and woman has the right to be a racist in a certain sense. Because if you look at the word racist in the English language, there's what's something called a suffix. Anytime you put an IST behind it, it means that you're proficient in something, like a pianist, a scientist, a dentist, and a racist, one who loves their race. I feel that I love black people with all my heart and soul, and I can't stand the white man. I can't stand the devil. So, therefore, it is possible, it might be quite possible to be a racist, but in a different sense as the European is using the word or the term. Hello, brother? You gather what I'm saying?
So you saying, brother, that we should take the stance that we should be racist? That the black man and woman should be racist.
I believe that any time that you have an oppressor that's putting his foot on your neck, that's killing your babies, that has an agenda to destroy you at all means, you would be a fool not to have some type of hatred towards them, not try to fight your way out of it. If we continue to go on the same path that we're going on, then we're going to keep having the same result, which is insanity. So therefore, I think the black man and woman will be smart to be racist, but in a different sense as the white man uses it. Like Sister used the definition of racist, of having power and so forth. We don't have the power to topple this peck of wood as we're doing now, but if we get together as one, then maybe we might be able to have some type of power, some type of force. It's something that we haven't done before. We always scatter, we always making excuses as to why we should integrate with this devil and why we should try to somehow make some type of treaty with this beast, and there's no way to do that, brother. So I think the black man and woman would be smart to consider racism, but in a different way.
Wow.
That's deep. So,
yeah.
So you want to flip the term.
I'm just flipping it as if, like, you know how when a white man makes his language, he always has, when you look in the dictionary, there's the term racist. There's 1, 2, 3, or A, B, and C. So there's always a different loophole that the white man uses in his language. So therefore, I'm saying we can be racist, but in a different term of racism, and not like the white man uses his racism. There should be a black racism, a black unity, a black united front to topple this beast. And, brother, I just feel like I was talking to my sister. I was like, you know what? I think I might be a black racist because I do not like the devil. I do not love the devil. I do not want to integrate with the white man at all.
That's interesting. So my question,
yes.
And so Simon, please chime in on this. This is very, very interesting. Does it serve us the proper purpose to take that attitude if we know that? If we know that term is being used against us, would it serve us in terms of our revolutionary work, or would it hurt us? What's your thoughts on that?
I think it would hurt us if we use it in the term that the devil is using it in. If we explain our position as how you can become a racist as a black person or from the oppressor, then I think in a revolutionary term, those who are revolutionaries or true revolutionaries are going to understand what you're saying. Because if you have revolutionaries that are scared and are Uncle Tom, no matter how you use the word, they're going to be scared and they're going to be Uncle Tom. Yeah. So you have to. It's all about, you have to, in a revolution, you have to find the weak and get rid of the weak and utilize the strong. So
you know,
you can change the language
here, brother. Muhammad, let me interject right here, because
yes,
I'm like learning new stuff, and I went straight to the dictionary when you said the IST, I-S-T, and
mm-hmm.
it says one that adheres to or advocates a doctrine or system or code of behavior, or that individual, let's see here, relating to, it says of, relating to, or characteristic of. So my thing is, yeah, you just changed my whole frame of thinking when it. You want to use, like, it's like you. It's kind of like, if we are racist,
yeah.
It's a badge of honor.
Yes, I feel myself as a racist, one who loves my race.
One who adheres to African doctrines and African behavior, and not this demonic, devilish, white kind of behavior or whatever. So even if we are racist, so what? If we're adhering to that African code of conduct, like it says in the dictionary, like this is their language. So like they're saying
exactly.
In their dictionary, hey, ain't nothing wrong with it, but you see, you have, and you understand because you have a good grasp on this connotation and denotation. And so now, at first, I was dealing with the connotation of the word racist or racism. And it has a negative connotation to it. But the denotation that you just broke down, let's talk about what it means exactly. See what I'm saying? So I like that, brother.
Yes,
you got
ma'am.
Me thinking. You got my brain chewing on something right about now.
Yes, ma'am. It's always two ways to look at certain things. The way the devil is trying to portray the New Black Panther Party as racist, they're using that as in the term of them being racist and bigots and murderers and robbers and rapists. But the way I'm looking at it is as one who loves his race, a black man who loves my people more than I love myself. I love my people. I love my babies, and I need to get us out of this condition and do as much as I can to do so. So if I'm a racist in that term, then I wear it with a badge of honor.
Hmm. And so that takes us back to the question, right? To the question, can a black man or woman be racist?
It's possible. Yes, sir, it's possible.
And so that's deep. And so what we've come to now is it depends upon, I guess what we're saying now, it depends upon the connotation, or it depends upon the way that the term is being used. Is that what we're saying now?
Yeah, basically, you know, because like I said at the beginning of this whole conversation or radio show, I'm looking at the negative connotation of the word. And, of course, if you're going to take it by the negative connotation of the word, of course we can't be racist. Of course. You know, but when you break it, when he broke it down, you know, the root word, the suffix, and all this other stuff, and blah, 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 and you really look up each individual word, and you come back to it. Because, once again, people's like, well, I don't get into the dictionary and breaking this down, but you have to, because it's the only language we know. This is the only language we have right now. If you're proficient in Spanish or Kiswahili or Yoruba or Twi or whatever, good for you. But the majority of us aren't. So this is all we have right now. And to beat the cracker at his own game, just like Brother Malcolm X did, may peace be upon that brother, you know what I'm saying? He read the dictionary from A to Z. From aardvark to Z. You see what I'm saying? So my thing is, he had a good, so did Dr. Khalid Muhammad. He had a wonderful grasp on the English language. So anytime a cracker threw anything at him, he threw it right back. And this brother Muhammad just did the same thing. Really? Is it negative? Is it really negative? Yeah, it has a negative connotation if you're going to take it as get all emotionally caught up into the connotation of the word. Yeah. So of course not. Of course we're not racist. But when you really break it down, and there's nothing really wrong with being a racist because you're adhering to a code of conduct.
So I'm still trying to get clear, because And I hear what you all are saying. Now, in we're talking about, we're not just talking singly, we're talking for the whole black nation. We're saying now, okay, should we consider ourselves racist or should we not? You know what I mean? So what I'm trying to get across and get an understanding on is should Sean Quali tomorrow wake up and say, yeah, I'm a racist?
Is Brother Muhammad still on the phone?
Yes, ma'am. I'm still on the phone. I think that will be a question for Brother Sean to, if he woke up, and he would have to ask himself. I think that when we put titles on one another, we can't put titles as a whole nation because, for example, I can't say that I am the head of anything. I can't say I'm the head of the new Black Panther Party and I feel this way and everybody feels this particular way. I think in each individual, as a revolutionary, you have to look in within yourself to see how you feel with that particular term and how you're going to use it. So, brother, I wouldn't be able to put that on everybody. That's why I say I have to put it for myself. I have to do a self-evaluation with me and say, am I racist? And then I have to look into it and find out what the word means, what the term means, the devil, the beast's terminology of it, and then I came up with my own conclusion. So I wouldn't be able to say the new Black Panther Party should consider themselves as racist. You know, that's something that each individual needs to look upon themselves.
So that's interesting. So we're saying now it's personal. It's a personal decision based upon what you know about the term, how you should use it,
and
right?
Yes, sir, and how you feel about the particular term.
So that's similar to the way that Brother Tupac took the word nigger and made that never ignorant getting goals accomplished. Is that how we rock it?
No, brother used it as an acronym
and it's still nigger. Nigger means nigger. Nigger means ignorant. Ignorant person, one void of knowledge.
Wait a minute. Because we said we could flip the English language. Right?
No. You're talking about
an acronym, like the brother said.
That's an acronym.
Right.
That's something totally different. No. That's something totally different. He broke down the entire word racist, not in an acronym like really something African, you know, cipher. You know, he didn't do that. You know, that's what an acronym is, and that's what Tupac did. May peace be upon that brother, too. I love him. But no, he took the N-word and he tried to make it a positive thing, which to me, in hindsight, not so positive. But that's a whole nother show. That's a whole nother subject. What this brother Muhammad just did, he broke down the word racist in its text and told you this is what ist means. This is what race means. So ist means adhering to a code of conduct. Race, what is your race? We the black race, so therefore we're going to have to adhere to the black race code of conduct. Basically, that's what it means. So am I right, Brother Muhammad? Because I hate speaking for other people.
Yeah, you're right on point, sister. You're right on point.
Okay, so that's how he broke that down. So it's not taking an acronym or taking a word and making it an acronym. Nah. Mm-mm. This brother just broke down for science, and I might wake up tomorrow and say, damn right I'm a racist, put a big old red, black, and green R on my chest and walk around with it.
But what I'm saying is, in that same, you're right on this, the difference between an acronym and the suffix of the word, but what I'm saying is, in that same spirit, was the same reason why Tupac took nigger to nigga, he said. So what I'm saying is, isn't it really the same thing? And we doing the same thing? We kind of playing word games, seem like.
No, it's not word games.
Not at all. What we're doing is we broke the root from a word because each word has roots to it. So what we did was I broke the word down as just like that's how the white man formulates his words. He puts suffixes them. They're plural. They're nouns. And so forth. So I just did what the white man does with his own language and broke down what racist means in his terms, in the dictionary terms. Because what Tupac did was he used an acronym, and only those who will follow like Tupac's music or his movement will feel what that man is saying. But when you break down words in the way that I broke down racist, it's broken down in the white man's term. So when you go to a white man with that particular term, you tell him what his word means, there's no arguing it. But with an acronym, I mean, we can make anything. An acronym can be, you can make nigga anything, anything you can think of. So it's quite different.
You can make the N-word never intelligent, always getting got. Africans, you know what I'm saying? You can make the N-word anything, but what he just did, I mean, that was beautiful. Hey, brother, like I said, I might wake up tomorrow and say I'm a racist. For real. And I don't
just
even know.
Black power.
Black power. I don't even understand, like, why, for real, in 2010, African people are even splitting hairs over a bastardized grunt and moan kind of language anyway. This is a bastardized language. Latin, Greek, this, that. It's a little bit of this. It's a summer language. One of the young brothers from Texas, he saw my dog and he was like, "Oh, that's a summer dog." I'm like, "What is a summer dog?" He's like, "Some of this, some of that." I'm like, "Whatever." But this is a summer language. It's some of this, it's some of that. It's a bastardized language. So no matter if the national chair decided to say, "Yes, we're racist," he wouldn't have been wrong. If he said, "No, we're not racist," he wouldn't have been wrong.
Okay, and so how? Okay, so that's interesting. So okay, we're speaking the white man's language. We're speaking a bastard language that has multiple meanings. So which language should we choose as ours?
Well, I was told years ago, and I think I even expressed this to your queen. When you stand, like, after it rains and you take a pebble and you throw it in a puddle of water, you'll see a ripple effect. Ripple effects, no matter what you're thinking about, it could be religion, it could be language, it could be whatever, you know, it's a ripple effect. But what you will notice, and this is science, what you will notice is that those ripple effects always go back to the point of origin, exactly where you drop that pebble into that puddle of water. That being said, if we're going to get back to the root of things, if we really want to get back to who we are, well, let's speak Metu Nadir, or let's speak Yoruba, let's speak Twi. At least let's speak Kiswahili. You see what I'm saying? Let's speak something. But right now, we speak English. So it's no need to even, like I said, the chair, the national chair, he couldn't have been wrong either which way he would have went.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that it sounds like we just like, okay, we just speak in English, and we don't have, and the reason why, let me get some background while I'm saying what I'm saying, because there's a debate going on right now throughout the black nation on whether we should even use the term black, whether we should use the term African-American, whether we should just be called African, you know, whether we should be called Kemetic or Asiatic, or, you know, what language we should speak. So I just raised the question. Since we're speaking the oppressor's language, which language would be good for us to speak?
Being that there's really no teachers of the Metu, I think I'm saying Medu, Nitir, or Metu, Nidir language, but there are practitioners of the Yoruba language, and there are people still who speak Yoruba who are still there who can teach us. And that is, you know, an indigenous African language or whatever. Maybe that's it. Maybe whatever the doggone people speak. I don't know what they speak, but maybe we can speak what they speak. You know, but I really don't know, because no matter what we choose can't be wrong, and it will be 100,000% better than what we're speaking now. Understand me. Have you ever looked at one of those Russian movies or one of those German movies and really listened to how they speak?
Yeah.
It sounds like a whole bunch of hard, harsh grunts and moans. Like, you're just ready for them to pull out a billy club and knock somebody in the head with it. It's just really cavemanish. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I don't have an answer for that either. I don't know what language we should speak, but like I said, we should go back to our point of origin, and our point of origin, it could be the Kemetic language. It could very well be that. But I think anywhere on the continent, on Mama Africa, we couldn't go wrong, as long as it's not Arabic and as long as it's not, French, as long as it's not Spanish.
Well, that's a question. That's a question I would like to ask the callers online. Those at 646-478-4447, you press number one and put yourself in queue. What language should we speak? Now, all of this is inclusive of racism, because if we are an oppressed people, we're speaking the oppressor's language in the oppressor's neck of the woods, underneath the oppressor's system. So what should we be speaking? How should we, you know, be talking? What should we be studying to get back to our point of origin? Y'all press number one. Talk to us in the chat room. We're trying to talk about, can the black man and the black woman be racist in the hills of North America? What should we be talking?
I know my ancestry goes all the way back 60,000 years to Kenya. And it's not too far-fetched to believe, because Brother Sean and Sister Amira, I'm sure that y'all have seen how tall and goofy-looking I am and all that other good stuff, you know? And my ancestry goes to the Rift Valley in Kenya, 60,000 years. So that's the furthest back they could date it. Actually, the black man, black woman have no really point of origin, actually. But that being said, maybe I need to learn that language was spoke today around the Rift Valley area. But I think we need to have a uniform language within the black community, so it won't be that dissension and nobody can invade us and divide us like they did before. You know, you have people speaking different languages. I mean, I don't know, it's 52 countries on the continent last time I checked, it was 52 countries. You know, how many states, how many counties, how many cities, how many villages speak different languages? That's why it's so easy to pit this village, you know, in Uganda against this village in Rwanda. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Maybe we do need to come up under a uniform language, but what language it is, I have no clue, brother.
I can't really say I have the answer either to that, but I think that that's interesting. That we should propose, because again, now listen, y'all. We're talking about one nation, a nation of our own. That's what we're talking about, a nation of our own. And so, in this nation of our own, are we gonna be speaking English?
And people might be laughing. You know, people might be laughing, but they really shouldn't laugh, because honestly, it's not like we didn't invent languages before. Think about all those languages on the continent. Almost each and every individual village has their own dialect or own language. This is something that we do. We invent alphabets. We invent languages. This is what we do. So it's not that far-fetched, and I'm with you. I'm 100 grand with you.
Right, because I can't see us free, equal, and independent in a nation of our own still talking the white man's language, or still even in the white man's names. It really doesn't make sense to me, but maybe some of y'all think it's cool. Maybe some of us is like, all right, we already speaking the language, so why change it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you on that. I think that we should, whatever the language is, if it's Kiswahili or Europe or whatever it is, we should have a language of our own. If we're going to have a nation of our own, why don't we have a language of our own?
That's right.
That's interesting. That's
right.
To the thought of the nations of gods and earths.
Wait a minute. John Stan Elevator, he says Swahili. Kiswahili is the easiest to learn.
Okay.
That's something to think about.
Well.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, brother.
No. That just means it wouldn't take a lot of time if that's the easiest to learn.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But hell, we so mentally destroyed, it might not be that easy. I don't know. Hell, John, we might need to talk on that, John, and see who we can get to teach us some key Swahili. If we know some people out there that know this language, hell, give it to us. Give us the language. I think, you know, hell, we need a language of our own, or at least a uniform code of language for our people. Because, yeah, the reason our people look at us crazy, really overseas, number one is because we're in the white man's name. You know what I'm saying? We're in the white man's culture, and we're speaking the white man's language.
Actually, no, brother. Check this out. I just got a phone yesterday with a sister in Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
This sister, brother, you talking about a brilliant mind? I mean, this sister has a brilliant mind. And she's over there. She's been over here for probably about, I don't know, about 20 years or so. You can still hear her dialect. You can still hear her heavy accent. She never lost it because every time she got a chance to speak her native tongue to her grandmother and her mother and her people back at home, she did. And anybody who was from her township, she would speak it if they were in her vicinity, you know? And because she never wanted to lose that. But this sister was saying that she's so irritated with the brothers and sisters over there because the bleaching of the skin, the hair weave, the three-piece suits in 300-degree heat. And this is her word, not mine. I'm not even trying to be funny. In 300-degree heat, men are walking around with three-piece suits about to pass out because they want to look dignified. Here she comes with her African regalia into these government meetings and things of that nature, and they're looking at her like she's lost her mind, talking about she looks stupid. She looks stupid, you know, so, and this is in Africa. This is in Liberia. This is one of our settlements where we went and telling her that she looks stupid for dressing like an African in Africa. So it's not just they looking at us crazy. They're looking at their own crazy. It's a serious problem. We're mentally sick, and brothers and sisters have to understand we're dealing with them brothers and sisters over on the continent. Everything that they did to us over here, they did to them 10 times, 100 times worse.
That's crazy. That's deep. So she really can't even wear African garb in her own country because they love a white man so much.
That's right.
That's crazy as hell.
They love, matter of fact, an old professor of mine, her name was Dr. Chukwu. She told me, she's Igbo Nigerian. She told me in her village where she comes from, if you get up on a Sunday morning and you're on your way to church and you happen to pass a white man on your way to church, you can go home because you've just seen God. Okay?
Wow.
This, and they hold up the picture of white Jesus praying up like by the rock. And the light shining down on his face, blonde hair, blue eyes. You know what picture I'm talking about. Everybody's grandma had that picture in their house.
That you can't touch. That's the picture you can't touch. Better not take it off the wall.
You better know it. So my thing is, you know, if they hold up that picture when they're saying Jesus and all this, and the blood of Jesus and all this other good stuff. So when I say the hate is for real and the hate is deep, and yes, maybe we do need to learn Kiswahili. Maybe we do need to label ourselves as racist. Maybe we do need to be, well, I know I'm a separatist by nature. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. You know,
check.
I mean, thank you. I mean, yes, we do want a nation of our own. And if that's what you consider racist because we don't want to have anything to do with you, then so be it. Ashe, so be it. So shall it be.
This definitely... Definitely is a multifaceted conversation. My brain is just going through it because I'm really wrestling, I guess, because we're with the white man's language. I'm wrestling with this word racist because, you know, again, I guess it's open to interpretation or how you wanna apply the word. I don't know. I'm just raising the question. I don't know if it's going to benefit us as black people to consider ourselves racist, but I do know that we need a nation of our own. So I don't know. It's just, like I say, it's the white man's language, so he going to flip it how he want to flip it anyway. But
he changes whatever you want to change. He changed the history books. He changes history. He tells you what he wants you to know on TV. He's changing history in Texas, the largest purchasers of school texts in the United States of America is setting precedents down there in Texas. See what I'm saying? They're changing everything. So, yeah, we better get our own languages. We better get our own books. We better hold tight to the original books, the first editions that we get. You know, when our esteemed scholars come out with these books and all that, we better hold on to them and start our own library, like in Timbuktu. We better do something. Because I'm telling you, it's getting really thick. Like, we got a cracker in the daggone audience right now talking some old craziness, talking about if you hate somebody because of their skin color, cracker, there's nothing I hate about your skin color other than it looks like it itches. It looks like it's uncomfortable. it looks the same way as a pig skin, and that's the reason why the pig squeals, because he's uncomfortable in his own skin. So it's not a hate about your skin color, because to hate your skin color means I'm kind of jealous of you. I don't want your skin color. I do not envy you. The sun hates you. The earth hates you. The universe hates you. It's nothing I envy or hate about your skin. I hate your actions. I hate what you perpetuate. I hate what you benefit from, the free labor.
I saw that. He's talking about the chat room. Mr. Mind says that in certain neighborhoods, whites can't even walk down the street in different neighborhoods. I mean, Mr. Mind, I don't know if that's considered actually racism or if that's just, you know, turned about as fair play. Hell, we still can't go to certain neighborhoods today. We can't even go to certain stores today without being profiled and all kind of things. So I don't know. I just think, like you know, Minister Malcolm says, it's a case of the chickens coming home to roost. You know, I mean, just straight up. I mean, hell, about time somebody didn't let you walk down a neighborhood. I don't know what neighborhood you in.
You know, I'm from the west side of Dayton, Ohio. And it was the time that I felt so comforted and safe. I know we got to wrap up. We only got like 5 minutes on the show. I felt so comforted and safe in Dayton and in my little west side neck of the woods, because it was a black blanket that comforted me. It was a black blanket of people and elders that kept me safe. You know, anytime I tried to step my foot outside that little perimeter, I would get a switch right on back in. You better get on back in here, you know?
Right.
And so we thrived. We were one. We were all family. Everybody watched out for one another. Now these crackers, boy, I tell you, they riding down Third Street in Gettysburg in they stupid looking cars. Like these brothers are getting they stupid looking, like with M&Ms and Heineken logos on their cars and stuff. And 22, 26-inch rims, riding down with some black chick as if they cannot be touched. Brother, it's serious. So if you can't walk into a certain neighborhood, Mr. Mime or whatever your name is, let me break out my mandolins and violins and sing you a lullaby, because I do feel, I mean, hey, if you want some sympathy on this show, you came barking up the wrong tree.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I say, We the victims. I'm just, you know, I gotta echo the words of the national chairman. We the victims. We the ones who had snatched the whip out of the slave master's hand and began beating the hell out of the slave masters. You can't cry when you was being the brute and you got brutalized. You can't cry. I don't think that it's right for anybody in America, anybody in white America to cry over your once slave standing up and doing something for self. You can't cry and say we're practicing reverse racism. You're getting what you deserve. That's pretty
important. Listen to that. Reverse racism. To have reverse racism means to indicate that there's racism in the first place.
Exactly.
Silly games they play.
Exactly. So it's clear cut. I mean, we 1 minute out, and we definitely want to thank everybody. I mean, this is definitely a topic we're going to have to pick up again and really, really break this down. But I want to thank all the callers and everybody, because y'all gave me an assignment on this word, on racist. Can a black man be racist? And I guess in the spirit of what Brother Jamaica say, he say yeah, you know, as long as it's talking about your race, you know. So, hell, we're going to have to break it down, Sister Fasami, go deep into it.
That's right.
In the spirit of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, in terms of what the devil talking about, we can never be racist, because racism is prejudice plus power. And until we have complete black power,
That's right.
You can never consider us racist. So
you better pray to God. You better pray to God we don't get it, because then you will understand what it's really about.
And if your God is that white picture on the wall, you in trouble any daggone way. So we love y'all, family. We want to look forward to hearing from you again. We broadcast at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Monday,
Wednesday.
Oh, tell them about it. Tell them about it.
Wednesday, we're going to be broadcasting 8 p.m., people, 8 p.m. Sister Fasami said 11 p.m. is too late for her. So 8 p.m.,
right.
Family, be here on Wednesday.
Tell them the show.
Oh, it's what a woman's place in this what a black woman's place is in this revolution. 8 p.m. this Wednesday is going to be power packed, family. All those people who've heard me before, you know how I do.
That's right. And we close out with a mighty black power. Love y'all, family.
Black power.
All this Monday.
It's fun.
Them. Neighborhood know we coming. Jake hate him, snakes cannot violate him. Pimps memorize his lines verbatim. He reps in Y.O. Gives he knows Serratos. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks in tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Benzes. Never puts cash or ass before a friendship. He laughs last, and some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
Moving busy, locking up the